Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
I am Velocity Child, and every Friday at the stroke of midnight, ride the broomstick with Fallen Woman, a weekly psychic fusion of forward thoughts, far-out ideas, magical foray, and spellbinding song. Stirring up the cauldron at Radio Free Brooklyn.
Hey, we're here on a special one tonight. This is Velocity Child, and I'm here with some very special performer family. The Blue Angel Cabaret of yore. We have a little reunion here tonight. We've got Bonnie Dunn. Hey. Deity Delgado.
Hello!
Face Boy. Joe Boobs Weldon.
Hi.
And Ammo.
Hey there.
Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you for having us.
I was very excited when I got that text message. I was like, what?
Oh, yeah.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since we've all been in one room together.
That's true.
Yeah. What's your favorite memory of Blue Angel Cabaret? And it's a big question. Maybe not favorite. What's the first one that pops into your mind?
Pseudo's pig sex.
Okay.
Oh my god.
just malaria, anything.
Oh, malaria.
Oh, yeah.
Malaria, oh my god.
Just like anything. Like,
yeah.
My favorite though was when she like.
Malaria was a performance artist for those.
She, yeah, that one time that she really didn't wear anything special and she came out and she did this like whole disco thing. But she had a fake penis. And she pulled it out, and just blood started spurting
all
over the
wall.
And it said, "Eat my pussy, fag," on her chest or something.
Yeah.
But we were all suspicious because she wasn't wearing anything weird.
My favorite malaria moment was when she's being gang raped by her whole family.
That's the second one. I think that's the first thing I saw her do when I was like, yeah. What?
Or when
and she like played every member of the family.
Oh, yeah.
That was so sick. Remember the one where she was playing her, what was it, her parents or her grandparents?
Yeah, I think that's the same. I think it's the same one. Yeah, she's like, the first thing you see is like, she's topless and she looks like she's getting, like, she's
from behind the curtain.
She's like through the curtain to her waist.
Yes.
And she gets up and she's like, and she runs away and then she literally and comes out as like her grandfather.
Yes,
it was
amazing.
I have her CD somewhere.
I do too, and I still play it.
The strip club customers
were baffled.
Yeah, I played
it for years.
This is not the lap dance I was expecting.
No.
What was her CD?
It was a record. It was a musical.
Yeah, it was a musical.
But she talks on
she
it too.
Yeah.
It's just all these little skits.
She's wearing like a bob wig, and she's naked, and she's holding like a skeleton baby to her boob in the picture. That's ingrained in my mind.
Hmm? How long ago was that?
1994.
Yeah.
4 or 5, maybe. Three.
Yeah, I didn't join y'all till 99. I mean, I remember Valeria.
And what about when she like wrote that script? And she wanted she was putting on a play or some kind of like
a radio show.
And she had a place sitting there.
Totally.
Oh my god, so crazy.
I remember seeing the live cast of my face.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I had to sit through a life casting.
Oh, fuck that.
Never saw it again. She just ran away with my face and I never saw her again.
And now she's Arya Stark.
She's what?
Now she's Arya Stark with the face and the
Game of Thrones.
She's got Velocity's face.
The main face.
inside Game of Thrones.
That would not surprise me at all.
I wonder what she's doing now.
I know.
She's Arya Stark.
You can't just Google malaria.
Well,
you might.
I loved her Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs thing.
Yes,
you remember that?
No, what was that?
And then she turned into a cop or something afterwards. Like, what the fuck?
Do you remember when she came in with her face like an old person?
Yes.
She did all the
I remember that.
Latex and everything.
Uh-huh.
And we were like, oh my god, who is this?
She made prosthetic limbs for a living, I remember.
Oh,
yeah.
She did?
Yeah. That's how I knew. I was like, oh, this will make
sense. Well, she's able to cast
my
face.
Well, I know her
face.
Mother was badly schizophrenic, and so that was like part of the inspiration, I guess.
Wow.
I didn't know anything about her life outside of her.
Well, she didn't really talk to us.
No.
she did her thing.
She was shy.
Yeah.
Yeah, she stayed through the whole show. She didn't really talk to us, though.
She talked to me a little bit, maybe. I reminded her of her schizophrenic mother. So I hope not, though. I remember Tanya. We have to talk about Tanya.
Oh, my God. Tanya, how many birds died?
Oh, my God. Those birds.
Do you remember the splits?
Poor dogs.
But you have to, for people that are listening, you have to describe it because they're not going to.
Tanya.
She was like Tanya. 70 the first time I saw her.
Oh, she went through several facelifts.
But she had a facelift when communism fell. In Russia. She told me that. Yeah. And she only paid $50 for it because they didn't know what to charge because they were used to getting paid by the government. And she goes, and I tipped them $50. So she got a facelift. She goes, oh, they did a really good job.
They did, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she kind of had that Zsa Zsa Gabor look.
She was always on the younger women event. You are not trying to make yourself attractive. This is a mistake.
Oh, yeah.
She got
really mad at me because I did an SNN number one time. And that was the coolest thing you've ever done, Bonnie. People putting clothespins on me and everything. She was so disappointed in me.
She was like, you must make the most of your beauty while it lasts.
She's lactating in the Minnie Mouse.
Oh my god, that was my favorite thing I ever remember. I remember all of us were like, what is happening?
Yeah, but she like.
That was my favorite thing.
That's why so funny coming from her.
I loved it.
Because you used to see her with those rings that she would drop.
And she would lose things.
Those rings were good. All
the drops, and the cards, the large.
But you've got to describe, she was a magician.
Yes, and everything was in the homeless card. Yes, and do you remember the time she called somebody on stage, this guy, and she goes, she was trying to levitate him, and she kept going, up, get up, or something like that.
Oh, my God.
The guy goes, I can't get it up.
By the end of her act, all of us were just like,
We were dying.
Oh, man. Like, I would make sure I was out there for her act every time.
I felt so bad for those birds. I remember one time we were there and one of the birds was on fire. And she opened up the thing, right? She opens up the pan, the bird's on fire, and she goes, done now.
I know. Right on, bird.
She just killed that bird.
I think she went so sideways. She's gone through several birds.
That one was so traumatizing.
I remember the time the birds like ran off.
Oh yes,
they flew out of their.
Wasn't it the same day that the fire department showed up?
Yes, that was the same day.
It was like Dominic was on stage. There was birds flying around. Oh my God, people were running everywhere.
And we're dancing in front of the firemen trying to get their attention so they wouldn't
fly. There
was
lap dancing. Everything was kept going. How are you? With the birds flying throughout it and then the firemen.
It was hilarious.
And the alarm, because the alarm was going off, somebody walked out the wrong door.
Yep.
And nobody could get and Flambeau was like.
You know, a few days later, they came back on a slow night where it's just striptease.
Yeah.
And I'd like lap dance.
Connie was on stage.
It was a slow night. There was only three of us.
Remember?
And the whole department showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all wanted lap
dances. Connie was on stage.
Yeah.
And Connie was like.
Connie
was the African American girl that had the straight.
I forgot her name.
Sometimes she wore a beehive.
Yes, that's right.
She had like an updo thing that she did sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. But Connie was off. I liked her.
Yeah,
she was a little bitchy, but I loved her.
She's very catty. Yeah. She's catty.
I always hung out with the bitchy girls. But no, Suzette wasn't bitchy. Maybe she was.
She was a little bit.
I was going to say, I think me and Velocity are giving you the same
time. Oh, yeah.
I was like,
Yeah, I guess so. I love bitches.
Yeah.
I like them. It's great. They're great.
Dude, she eventually decided that, you know, She could be nice to us.
We all grew up.
Yeah, at the time
we were kids.
She really feel like
not all of us.
Maybe
all
of you were. No, I think I was.
But we were kids.
But
we were
like 35 when I started.
Yeah.
At Blue Angel, I was 25.
Yeah. I was 25.
I was 26 then.
Yeah.
So I was
25. 24? Yeah. So we were young.
We were all working in dungeons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all working
part-time. Part-time
Pandora's Box or Blaze or something.
And dungeon. Dungeon mistresses.
Mm-hmm. Or subs.
Yeah, we were all doing a combination of all of them. We were like domming and stripping and like, whatever fit.
I had some
category.
Of my customers come into Blue Angel as well. And there was this guy, Brian. He's not around anymore. He's in the dirt somewhere right now. But anyway, he used to come in and he wanted to get, treated badly.
Uh-huh.
So
he's like, I can do that.
Yeah, this is easy for me. So he would come in, he would stand up at attention to me, and I would just boss him around. And one time, my friend Camus, remember my friend Camus?
Yeah.
He went and sat down next to me, and Brian came
Camus
up to me.
Camus had a top bun before anyone else had a top bun.
Yes, he did. And Brian came up to me, still doing the attention thing, and I told him to get Camus a Coca-Cola. So we went to the bar, gave Camus the Coca-Cola, and knocked it over. And I fucking yelled at him so hard. I don't even know if anybody remember. It was on a path night, so.
What venue were you?
You fucking clean that up right now!
What
Blue
venue
Angel.
Was that? Which like what theater?
Oh, Church Street.
Church Street.
Yeah, that's in like a full
Street.
Lap dance lounge.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Walker Street.
Walker Street.
Right. Yeah, Walker Street.
I remember when I first started working there, I was...
Even the name sounds slutty.
I know. Walker Street.
Might as well be Hooker Street.
I was still working at Flash Dancers as well. So.
Oh, my God.
I left Paradise Club for the Blue Angel. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I was
I
working
left
at Flash
Dancers
and the Blue Angel.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I left... I actually was working at Flash Dancers and New York Dolls when I first... worked at Blue Angel, and then I quit.
What was the place
like,
around the corner?
Oh, they're unbelievable.
Oh,
yeah.
It was horrible.
It's too much.
Harmony.
Yes.
Harmony.
Oh,
so
but at least at the Harmony, you could get away with stuff. At Flash Dances, it was like,
you couldn't get away with
for this,
anything.
For that. You
yeah,
could literally
no,
have
a makeup
an
artist.
Ambulance.
You expected to do
yeah.
shit.
You have to pay the makeup
there,
artist, you have to pay the DJ, you have to pay the bartender.
Yeah.
And you could literally
you
have a receipt from an
too.
Ambulance, and they would still make you pay
yeah.
for missing the
oh,
night.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you walked in owing
if
money.
If Harmony
yeah.
had a tagline, it would be, "That's not mayonnaise."
Oh,
no.
Oh. Yes. Oh.
Disgusting.
Oh. Harmony
oh,
is so
remember
creepy.
When we found out when we found out that the Blue was going to close?
She's the one that caused it.
Yeah, I know.
Who was?
The owner of the Harmony.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uda's former boss, by the way.
Mm-hmm. And Uda dated
oh,
her son,
you know
too.
Oh,
there's
Uda
a
dated her son.
That's a story.
There's a flow chart for you.
Uda chart.
Yeah.
That is the stripper
wow.
flow chart. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So when I first started working there as a host, mm-hmm. I was dating this woman who very much the librarian type.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, today she has... a PhD in psychology, and she's been working for Bellevue for 17 years. She also has a PhD in dentistry, just very intellectual book type of person. And she didn't like that I was working at a strip club. And I said, no, it's not like that. It's, you know, come in, see that it's just a very creative environment. That was not a good idea.
No.
It
was not a good idea.
Did she see pig sex or something?
What's that?
Pig sex.
No, she just... I came in, and because I'm hosting, the Women would flirt with me quite a bit because, you know, I would also have something to do with where you are in the lineup, which has something to do with how you're going to make your money, which was one of the reasons why I didn't fuck anybody when I was working there, because I didn't think it would be morally correct. But still, they tried. No one in this room, actually, but a lot of the other women did. So, you know, someone would come in to work, and they'd, like, put their arms around me, give me a little kiss on the head, and all this kind of stuff. And then I'm realizing, wow, she's seeing this. This is not helping at all.
No, abort mission.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, and she even said that. She's like, that did not help at all.
How long did that relationship last?
Until she figured out my password on an answering service that I had. Yeah, she's that smart. I didn't have a regular, I didn't even have a landline. This is well before cell phones. So I had an answering service, and you would leave messages, and I would retrieve them by a 4-digit passcode. She figured out what it was, found out I was cheating, and that clearly, that's what led to our breakup.
Right.
And I don't do that anymore. It's like, I figured out, I'm poly, I'm just honest about it, and, you know, but in those days, I didn't really know that much about poly. I was actually...
You also didn't think, you probably didn't think you could get away with it. You know,
people
without,
didn't
you know
really
I mean?
Talk about it.
I knew I wanted it,
but I didn't really have a name for it.
I'm kind of going about the needs.
It's true.
We have an open relationship.
Open relationship.
Just,
Yeah, that was the word.
Open relationship.
In the 90s.
Yeah.
I prefer polyamorous, because it's many loves.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's
I like
good.
The love.
Sounds
it's
well, it's affectionate.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure it'll have another name sometime soon. But I just like I would tell people that's what I wanted, and they would say, no, I don't want that, and I'd be in love with him, so I'd go, okay, and then eventually,
fortunately, that's not how she found out I was bisexual.
Oh, well, there you go. That's the other thing. I would be like, okay, you know I'm bisexual, so.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
You're
going to
feel that.
Because I like to save the messages, you know, and I'd listen to them again. And so did she.
Yeah. Well, that's a thing. Like, hiding is hiding, cheating is cheating. But, you know, it's a process, discovering who you are.
That's true.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Very well said.
And I think the Blue Angel helped a lot of us with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time. Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
The first thing I remember seeing you do was the lesbian clown act with the blinking noses.
Oh, with Tava.
You and Tava.
Yeah, I actually came across like a 9x12.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
That was really fun. With the cutting room?
I had seen you do the nun act before, I just realized.
Oh, yeah, the nun act.
So, yeah, that I thought.
We started
the
clown
act
with Gene Frankel.
On Walker Street.
Yeah, I had seen the nun act.
But the Gene Frankel, we started the clown act there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then eventually, she was like, oh, I'm a teacher, I can't do this act anymore.
Who was that?
She was just afraid she was going to be seen. Huh?
Who was that?
Tava.
Oh, Tava, yes.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, I'm a little worried that I'm going to be seen.
Recognized through the blinking clown nose.
Yeah.
Was anyone here at the House of Wax?
No.
Isn't that what it was called? Remember
no, House of Candles.
The S&M
House of Candles,
show.
That's what
oh,
it was.
Oh, that, yes, that, yes.
Yes. Okay. That was like near Ludlow.
I think you met me at the cutting room, but
I
can't
remember. I think it was on
Orchard.
I was around at Walker Street.
It was near Orchard, but I think it was like on Stanton or Rivington.
Yes.
Did you perform at Walker Street?
One of those,
I don't remember.
But it was near between Orchard.
I was already, I was at Dom. I was working.
I
was performing at Coney Island High.
Yes.
Yeah. And I can't remember when that.
I can't visualize
when
because
I segregated.
Yeah.
I was
social.
Did you you performed at Coney Island High, right?
Once. Like before. Yeah, I think I did right before it closed.
Oh, that was interesting. Yeah. But
so
there was
right
an overlap.
I loved Coney Island High.
I loved Coney Island High.
I was sad when it closed because I was just
I used to go there after Blue Angel closed. Like immediately after it was 2:00.
Mm-hmm.
I was out of there and I went to Coney Island High.
Yeah, I was there every night. And I went to Meow Mix.
Oh, I missed Meow Mix.
Meow Mix.
The
Yeah, because there was no social media. People, you had to go out to be with your tribe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The house.
And also, people were able to get over their fights because they hadn't stood up in front of a bunch of people on Facebook and could never back down.
Right.
So you were allowed to make up with people after you had fights with them because everybody wasn't invested in your vendetta.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you had to see people all the time. Uh-huh. So you were like,
you had to work with people you hated and you had to get over it.
Be around at the same club, so I'm going to just make up with you.
Invested in your vendetta.
Yeah. I don't get involved in any of that shit on social media ever.
I don't. I have people who expect me to know what I was talking about the flow chart earlier. People who expect me to know that they hate people that they have never personally told me that they hate. They're like, but I posted about it many times. I'm like, see, don't care. So it's like, that's not the same as telling me. And, you know, and they're like, I barely know you. I only know you on social media. Mm-hmm. I've been friends with this person for 20 years, and you insist that I'm like, fucking unfollow me. It's cool. Like, fine. I don't care. People, I barely know you.
People say those things to me all the time. They're like, they tell me something as if I should know what the fuck they're talking about, and I'm like, and they're like texting me like this dramatic thing. I'm like, what? They're like, oh, it's been all over Facebook. I'm like, just explain it to me, because I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, and I'm not going to go look for it. I'm not going to go search for your post about whatever.
That's crazy. No, and I'm not going to join in the thread, so I have to come back and check every response.
And then I come back, and there's like 100 notifications where people responded to what I said.
I think I'm oblivious.
Can't do this.
They put way too much relevance into social media.
Well, I think a lot of important stuff happens on social media, but I don't think that's it.
No.
Yeah.
I go on there to know what my, like, if there are events that I need to see that are happening. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, but the personal shit, that should be handled in real time.
But I've had people tag me in things and like, Joe, we'd like you to weigh in on this. I'm like, I don't know either one of you, and I don't care. But you've talked about this in public or whatever. I'm like, I don't understand how my writing about something completely unrelated makes you think that I should weigh in on this subject, this fight between two people I don't know and don't care about.
No, that's all the time.
Because it's all
for
very,
a while, not
every,
so much
it's
now.
It's all very self-important.
I think Time Magazine or somebody said recently, and I don't know who it is exactly, said that we're in the era of outrage. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot to be outraged about, though. Yes. We have more information about fucked up things happening than we've ever had before.
Right.
More irrefutable evidence of what's happening to people. There is legitimately more to be outraged about.
Right, because you can see it on video and people record everything.
But everybody's in a state of hypervigilance. I feel, which is not the same as just being aware.
And the other problem is everyone is so sensitive that everyone assumes that somebody's post is about them.
Is that about me?
Exactly.
It's about you.
We're subtweeting you.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people I talk to and they're like, so, you know, so-and-so said this. I wonder if they were talking to me. I'm like, why
probably
would they be?
Not.
And they're like, I don't know.
But the people
that
do that do it on purpose to make other people feel uncomfortable and unsettled. Like, that's their goal in life. People that post those passive aggressive,
so
naming people. it's really sick. But it works. Like, because everybody
gets
afraid they're going to target them.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
It works.
Yeah, it's like you see something like, I'm so sick of this bullshit right now. And then everyone's like, what happened? And then it just escalates into these vague posts, like if whoever wants to talk shit about me, they should do it to me, and then everyone chimes in because they want to know what's happening. It's like, I see that and I'm like, oh, that's the last thing I want to see. I want to see kittens and puppies.
Kittens.
And funny
memes. I don't mind seeing serious stuff, but a lot of the stuff that they act like it's serious
and it's not.
It's
serious in their
internet
personal life.
Was invented for kittens and porn.
Thank you.
Yes.
Facebook change their algorithm that you just see like the same people all the time? It seems like I don't see any, you know, it's a very select group.
Yeah, you have to.
And
have,
I don't know why they picked those people.
If there are people that you're interested,
If
there are people that you are interested in, you know, keeping up on and seeing what they post, you have to go directly to their page and then click on like close friends
that
or something like
them
that.
Or something.
There are different things that you know. It's like acquaintance, friend, close friend, mom.
If you like somebody's post or you comment on something, then that person will be shown.
Okay, we'll have some relevance.
I'm trying not to limit my online world too much, but I feel like it's inevitably turning into smaller and smaller bubbles. You know,
that's true.
You know where I've been wasting time online? I really have to stop doing this. You know,
it's segregating.
I love BuzzFeed.
Okay, and their quizzes.
I love BuzzFeed quizzes.
I love BuzzFeed quizzes too, but then I'm like sitting there, I'm saying, why am I asking BuzzFeed when I'll get married based on the cupcakes I chose? Why am I doing this? Why did I do this? When I know it's just market research. That's all it is that they're collecting. It's just market research. They're finding people's preferences by turning it into a quiz that tells you, you know.
Right. What kind of cupcakes?
Which house in Harry Potter
that's
you
true.
Belong to.
Exactly.
Slytherin.
So much fun.
But BuzzFeed also does amazing long-form investigative journalism, and that's what I love about BuzzFeed.
My favorite.
They'll do a whole thing about which you know, hairdo you should have based on your star sign, and then they'll do some deep digging into some heavy political issue, and that kind of, like, I love the conundrum of them, like, running both of those sides of themselves at the same time and expecting people that read it to just deal with the fact that they're both serious and frivolous.
And what fascinates and pisses me off sometimes is how much they get it right on those quizzes.
My favorite quiz is, what Harry Potter house is your penis in?
Ooh,
I didn't see that one.
Is that a BuzzFeed?
I don't know if it's BuzzFeed, but a friend of mine posted it a few months ago. He's like, this is clearly the best Harry Potter quiz in existence.
I've got a penis for every house.
Exactly.
Here's a weird one. There was a quiz, which Avenger is your BFF based on this, like, decorating your home. And I really wanted it to be Iron Man because we were best friends, and I still know him and love him. We met in nursery school. So I picked all the ones that I thought would work for Iron Man, and I got Black Widow. So then I was like, all right, fuck it. I'm just going to do the things I really like. Iron Man.
There you go.
Fucking weird.
Don't second guess yourself out of the best things in life.
Man.
That's funny. Oh, I don't know which Avenger would be my BFF. I need to take the quiz.
I need to take the quiz.
I always think it
I
would
need
be
to
the,
know.
No, it would be the Hulk, because I'm also always angry. Like, I feel like that's something we...
And your new book is coming out soon.
Yeah, it's a total change of subject.
Well, no,
there
really.
Are there's a
it's
super
the
villain in my book.
It's
though.
The title of the book, though.
Fierce.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Ferocious. Fierce. Mm-hmm.
But there is
Fury.
A super villain in my book. So. Catwoman, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Is there anything from that book that you can share with us?
Actually, I thought it would be interesting to share something that didn't make it in. So there was a story that I came across. I found this photo of this young woman in the early 40s holding a rifle in a snowy forest. I was like, who's that? Right? And it was, her name is Faye Shulman, and she was a Jewish partisan fighter in Poland in World War II.
Wow.
And there's a whole story with this leopard coat. Now, it's leopard fur, and this is one of the interesting things where, you know, I have to deal with how upset I am at the sight of leopard fur and what a complete hero this woman is. So I just had to, like, go with her story is so epic. And the story of the coat is that when the Nazis occupied her village, which was a town named Lenin on the border of Russia.
Can you say her name one more time?
Faye Shulman. She's
Faye
still
Shulman.
Alive, yeah. Okay. Or unless she passed very recently. So,
at first I heard facial man.
No, this is like I don't respect much. I don't hold much sacred, but facial manipulation. So
facial.
So sorry.
Yeah, I know. That's understandable. This is the crowd we're in. But so she, so the Nazis occupied her village, and they were, you know, one of the first things they did is they took all the, took fur from all the Jews because mm-hmm. it's warm. Consider where they are, and in that era, there wasn't really anything that kept them warm like fur. Mm-hmm. It's status, so they're taking their status. Mm-hmm. And for some Orthodox Jews, those fur hats are part of their observance. So they took their furs, and then they started doing all these terrible things, and eventually they killed all but 7 people in the village in one mass shooting.
Oh, God.
And they saved her, Faye, because she was a photographer, a very rare skill at the time. So they have this teenage woman who's a photographer, and they're training her, or having her train her replacement, so they can kill her.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. So she takes off and joins these partisans. I mean, if you read the book, and you can't, it's not light reading, it's very heavy, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
Just, you know, because she's just such a resilient survivor. And she goes out and, you know, joins these partisans, and it's, you know, they're fighting Nazis, and they're not affiliated with anything formal, and they decide to have her go back to the village and get her photography equipment so she can document them. So she's one of the few people who's ever documented this happening.
She
took the risk of going back.
When
too.
She went back, well, just think how rare it was to have photos at the time and what photos meant. Photos were the history of the time, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why the Nazis wanted her alive. Mm-hmm. They wanted their greatness documented. Mm-hmm. So she wanted, they wanted her to document there. So they go back to get her camera, and she sees her leopard coat and takes it back. So they've got her, this picture of her, with the rifle and the coat and the hat. There's this huge story behind it.
It's so great.
The reason it's not in the book, though, right? Okay. So I contacted her publisher, and they said, well, you know, we don't know about using that photo. You know, she only wore that book to survive, and she got rid of it right after the war. And, you know, because people are so, they abhor wearing leopard fur so much now, and of course it's illegal now to buy new or vintage, except under very rare conditions.
Right.
So, I said, do you mind if I talk to her family? And I talked to her family, and they were wonderful, and they were supportive, but they would have, I could just tell they would have been much more comfortable if they read the book, and the book, there wasn't completed, so they couldn't read it, or there wasn't something they could read, and so...
Yeah.
I decided not to put her in the book just to be respectful, but I told them I'd love to tell her story, and they said that would be great. So she's not, I mean, I mentioned her briefly in the book, but, you know, her story's not in the book, but her, but I love being able to talk about her because I feel like she's such a powerful example of the will to survive and the will to fight for a better world under the most unimaginable conditions. Like, you know, you've read, I'm sure we've all read stories of Auschwitz and everything, and this was these were stories I've never heard. These weren't even the concentration camps. So it was like being punched repeatedly reading this book and then seeing her survive and get married and have a family, and she's now, you know, she's been lecturing and winning medals. And
amazing. What is the book called?
Her book is called A Partisan's Memoir. Or, no, A Woman of the Holocaust.
Wow. It's amazing.
Yeah, so she's, and it's just this kind of, these stories that I came across that weren't necessarily relevant to fashion per se, but to just stories of, you know, human strength and inspiration and admiration. And I just was, and she's a teenager at this time.
It's crazy.
You mentioned there's going to be a burlesque performance art show. Where they're depicting
the
women from the book.
You're in one of them. I'm trying to have different performers in each of them. So the book is actually being released on June 26th, and there will be a party that's a benefit for Housing Works, which their mission is to work to support organizations that are trying to get rid of AIDS and assist AIDS patients. So
It'll be at Housing Works. It's on the website, historyofleopardprint.com, and there will be a burlesque show there, a signing, and I'll have some of my books set out that people can see, and some of the leopard print items I've collected. Like, nice. You know, some of it's not very classy at all. Like, I have one of those... do y'all remember Michael Hoban leather in the 80s?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I have North one
Beach
of those.
Leather.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
North
I have
Beach.
I have one of those big-shouldered snap front leopard dresses. The leather leopard dresses like Cindy Crawford.
The
Batwing.
Oh,
yes, at the Batwing. I've got one of those, and I think about all the cocaine. Oh, my God. God. Yeah. So
wow.
I've got stuff like that I'm showing. I mean,
amazing.
I've got older stuff than that. I've got, like,
that's
this velvet
fabulous.
Cape from the 40s and stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah. So come
North
see.
Beach.
I know, North
Beach
Leather,
I
right?
love their catalogs.
Oh, I did too.
They had really good marketing.
Oh, my God.
They did.
They made
so
you
awesome.
Like, they look so good, you're like, you could eat it.
Yeah.
That's all those
pleasure.
Colors.
Oh, and the colors, yes.
I know, they had the most beautiful purple,
beautiful
I remember.
Beautiful purples. Oh, something
did the sound just drop off?
No, it just sort of did here. But it'll be okay.
Okay.
It's the siren
oh, it's
that
the
off the sensitivity.
But I remember in the movie Working Girl, remember Melanie Griffith?
Oh, yeah.
And her friend with Joan Cusack, and Joan
yes.
Cusack was like, I can't remember the price of it.
Oh, yeah,
like, $5,000, it's not even leather.
Yeah.
You know she was talking about Michael Hoban.
Yes, completely, completely, yes.
It's not even leather.
Thank you. Let me sigh, let me cry when I'm blue. Let me go away from this lonely town. What is love but a prelude to sorrow? With a heartbreak ahead for your goal, here I go.
Lonesome as I can be, I go out walking after wash out 44 pairs of socks and have them hanging out on the line. I can start and iron 24 shirts before you can count from 1 to 9. I can scoop up a great big dipper full of lard from the drippings can. Throw the skillet, go out and do my shopping, be back before it melts in the pan. 'Cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. I can rub and scrub till this old house is shining like a dime. Feed the baby, grease the car, and powder my face at the same time. Get all dressed up, go out and swing till 4 a.m. and then lay down at 5, jump up at 6, and start all over again. 'Cause I'm a woman, a W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. If you come to me sickly, you know I'm gonna make you well. If you come to me all hexed up, you know I'm gonna break the spell. If you come to me hungry, you know I'm gonna fill you full of grits. If it's loving you're lacking, I'll kiss you and give you the shivering bits. 'Cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. I got a $20 gold piece, says there ain't nothing I can do. I can make a dress out of a feed bag, and I can make a man out of you. 'Cause I'm a woman, a W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. 'Cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. And that's all. Gonna board this lonesome train. I gave my man a broken heart, and things will never be the same. I'm leaving this town, no use hanging round. I may be wrong, but we can't get along, and I'm going back where I belong. Took my daddy for granted. You know I played him for a fool. Found out later that I love him so. After breaking love's a golden rule. Leaving this town, no use hanging round. I may be wrong, but we can't. Where I belong.
Nipples on my titties, big as the end of my thumb. I got something between my legs, I'll make a dead man come. Oh, daddy, baby, won't you shave them dry?
No, no, no.
Want you to grind me, baby, grind me until I cry. Say I fucked all night and all the night before, baby. And I feel just like I want to fuck some more. Oh, great God, daddy, grind me, honey, and shave me dry. And when you hear me holler, baby, I want you to shave me dry. I got nipples on my titty, big as the end of my thumb. Daddy, you say that's the kind of woman you want, and you can make them come. Oh. Daddy, shave me dry. And I give you something, baby, swear it'll make you cry. I'm gonna turn back my mattress and let you oil my springs. I want you to grind me, daddy, till the bell do ring. Oh, daddy, want you to shave me dry. Oh, great God, daddy, if you can't shave them, baby, won't you try? Now, if fucking was a thing that would take me to heaven, I'd be fucking in the studio till the clock strike 11. Oh, daddy, daddy, shave them dry. I would fuck you, baby, honey, I'd make you cry. Now your nuts hang down like a damn bell clapper, and your dick stands up like a steeple. Your goddamn asshole stands open like a church door, and the crab walks in like people. Ow! Shit! Ow! Woo! Baby won't shave them dry. A big sow get that from eating corn, and a pig gets fat from sucking. When you see this whore fat like I am, great God, I got fat from fucking. Yee! Shave them dry.
Oh, brush. Don't brush it.
My back is made of whalebone, and my cock is made of brass, and my fucking is made for working men's $2. Red garden round to kiss my ass. Wow. Woo, daddy, shave me dry.
Swim. swim through my veins. Drown me in your rain. My desire carries no shame. My will harbor no pain. From my spell, quench.